you build muscle, you burn calories more efficiently for one, and it also makes you more insulin sensitive.
Yes.
That's what I think has helped my control.
Yeah.
Cardio is good, but I think that you have to have balance. And I think that building strength has, repercussions isn't the right word to use, but it has benefits that go beyond just the time that you're doing it.
Totally.
Granted, cardio is good for your heart, but the muscle that you build is definitely going to help blood sugar control over the long run.
Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting, a show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in.
Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome. We are on episode 80, and I'm super stoked to have Miss Linda Franklin with me today. She is a master's lifter, so already a freaking badass. But she is also a diabetic, and she's been a diabetic for over 40 years now. And I've been wanting to really talk to somebody who has had diabetes and is powerlifting and how that's affected their life, because I know firsthand, having diabetic members at my gym, that the benefits of building muscle, training, and keeping a consistent sort of regimen, how helpful it can be to manage diabetes. And so it was really nice to be able to sit and talk to Linda, who was friggin' hilarious. She cracked me up. She got a potty mouth like me, so I'm sure you're all going to enjoy that part. We had a nice time talking about training, and how she's been able to really kind of see her diabetes be managed with training. And this episode is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And if you are looking for some online training, some online accountability, somebody who is going to keep you accountable not only for your training, but nutrition, we offer both here. We have a one-on-one training where we work directly with you to help you not only nutritionally, maybe to hone in those habits that might not be the best, and we know we all have that, but also let's train for powerlifting. If that's something you're interested in, check out core256.com/online, or you can just visit core256.com. That is my website. And I just want to let you guys know, we're going to be offering a team app through Train Heroic. So you can be on our powerlifting team. We're going to offer a hypertrophy, which is like an off-season building, a powerlifting specific leading into a meet. And then we're also going to offer a peak to a meet package. It's going to be freaking awesome. I'm really excited about this because it's a way for me to kind of work with some of you in more of a group atmosphere without having necessarily that one-on-one, if you don't necessarily need that one-on-one, but you can get the team aspect of everything else. And if you want to support the show and like our apparel, visit core256.com/shop and get yourself some apparel. Take some pictures so I can post you and I can gas you up when I can. And then if you can leave a review, if you haven't left a review for us already through Apple or Facebook, it always helps to grow the show so I can be out there and be at more places and talk about female powerlifting, because that's what I love to do. Now, let's get it started with Linda. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I like to have a variety of people who are, one, doing things that are, you're a little bit of an outlier, right? Like, you may seem like it's, you know, like, oh, I'm just doing fun. But yeah, I mean, you're an outlier. Your age, you know, what you're lifting, and being a diabetic. And I thought that was so amazing, because one of the things at our gym that we try to reiterate with, because we have a few diabetic lifters, you know, people who weren't lifters but now are, and we talk about like what the benefit of that is. And so I wanted to kind of start off with your story, because I know you had started soccer at 44, which makes me feel really good that I'm going to go back to basketball at 41. You know, so I know,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? And you know, your body looked completely different in the soccer photo compared to now, you know, well over what, like 15 years later, you're doing powerlifting. So what made you transition from that? And how did you get into powerlifting like that?
Well, first of all, soccer, you know, my kids played it, and it's my favorite sport to watch and stuff. And I was thinking, watching them play, that, hey, this looks easy, I could do this, you know? Yeah. And of course, you know, when they got into high school and stuff, I moved into an area where there were women teams. And
that's awesome.
I decided, you know, I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. I'm going to go join a team and learn how to play the game. And I did that for a long time. I was on women's teams. We were really successful in California. And then played a lot of pickup games. Okay. And it got to be kind of a little crazy after a while. And I broke my ankle, got laid up for a bit.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and then after I was recovering from that, you know, everything was just kind of falling apart, pickup games and everything. So I decided I'll try CrossFit. My brother's a big CrossFit Games guy. He's been in the games four times.
Ah, so it runs in the family.
yeah, 55 to 60. That was his age group. And he was in the top 10.
Wow.
And from there, he went into weightlifting and did really well with that too, but encouraged me to try CrossFit. So I did. I did that for a couple of years, and I just went whole hog out with CrossFit. Just, you know, I drank the Kool-Aid and went crazy. And so I did that, did really well. I placed 40th worldwide in CrossFit.
Wow.
Or 55 to 59, I believe, is the age group. And, I know you know about CrossFit and the excessive stuff that they do for WODs and all these other things. And that on, you know, kind of blended with my long-term diabetes. Because with long-term diabetes, when it's out of control, I've learned this from doctors. I didn't know this before, but your tendons thicken over time. And that's what happened in my hands. So obviously with CrossFit, I'm doing a ton of pull-ups and all kinds of gripping exercises over and over and over again. And after I competed in the 2014 Open, just went back to the box as usual, doing WODs and such. And I noticed my fingers started to catch and were really painful. And I just actually had to take a break. It was that severe. So I decided, well, I need to have my hands looked at because it was getting so painful that I couldn't really do much of anything. And I went to a UCLA surgeon and he goes, well, how many fingers do you think are involved? And I said, at least two or three. And he goes, oh no, they all are. We need to release all of your fingers. They're all triggering. So I had, within a 2-month period, I had all of my fingers released in four different surgeries. And then I had a bicep tendon tear. So I had a bicep tendinesis, which I had that reattached. And he cleaned up my shoulder a little bit while I was in there. And so that just threw me out of CrossFit. And then I had a really hard time recovering from hand surgery. So my left hand, very dominant left-handed person, I lost my grip. And they didn't know they were going to get it back. I just worked really, really hard at it. And so we just went to therapy for probably 8 months and did a lot of different exercises and stuff. And eventually got most of it back, but I knew that I could not go back to CrossFit. So long story short, I was introduced to powerlifting by my coach from the type 1 diabetics athletes group on Facebook.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He was on the admin and saw some video that I had posted of me squatting because I thought I got to do something. I can't just sit still. I love to lift weights.
Yeah. And
so he's like, you know, we need to talk. So got a hold of me. And we had a screen chat like we're having and talked for probably an hour or more. And I decided after talking to him that, yeah, I think I can give this a go. We knew that there were things I would need to do at first to accommodate my hands and all that stuff. So we did. I ended up using straps after we did some testing and because I had no grip in my left hand.
Wow.
There's a video on my Instagram that shows, you know, I could not hold on to the bar.
Yeah.
It would just slip right out. So got up to about 240 on a deadlift. And then after that, it was like, I can't do it. So.
Wow. And so it's interesting, right? Because releases, really all they're doing is cutting through and letting go of, I guess in your case, some of the tendon, right? That was building up too much.
Right. So there's two tendons that go up the sides of your fingers. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, they released all of them.
Right. So that's going to cause you to not have like a really good group.
Well, and I think too, is just that my I couldn't bend my fingers. My palms are really strong now, but the tips of my fingers, if you were to ask me to pick up a quarter off the ground, it takes a little bit. Mm. So, you know, my coach and I, well, we threw out strongman there for a bit. And like, he's like, nah, you can't do that. Not for you. Just stick with powerlifting. You're good at it. Let's just stick with that. So I'm
that's thinking, so funny. Yeah, because Atlas stones. Imagine trying to get your fingers underneath those.
No, I'd be dead.
Yeah. Wow. So that's crazy. Okay. So then you started off training with him pretty much, and you guys were training. So that was sort of like programming, and you would do the lifts and you'd send him videos. And so you were kind of training with him that way.
Right. We've always done online. You know, we knew each other through this group being admin together. And so we just did online and did all, you know, Google Sheets and sending videos through YouTube and all that. And it worked out great.
That's so wonderful.
I never really had in-person coaching at all.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Like two or three times with him when I saw him in it.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
But that was it.
So, yeah. So what do you think has been one of the biggest changes for you going from CrossFit to now powerlifting? Because, you know, those programs are completely different. And I find that a lot of people who start off with CrossFit and then move to powerlifting are like, oh, this is so slow, or they struggle with certain areas of that.
Yeah. I think, I know when you do CrossFit, everybody talks about, you know, when you go to that dark place.
Yeah.
In a watt, and you have to go there and deal with it. So I think I knew how to do that before I even did CrossFit. And so that's why I just bared through a lot of the stuff and did so well at it, because I could just go there.
Yeah.
But and I beat myself up because of it too. You know, I even got robbed out once in a partner wad. We won though. But yeah, deadlifts, box jumps, and freaking, I don't know what else, but push-ups. Yeah. Push-ups. I did so many, I ended up with rhabdo.
And, but, did you have to go to the doctor in the hospital and all that?
I had to go to ER. Yeah. Yeah. I was okay. I just had to just like, okay, Linda, you need to fucking chill out for a few days at least. So, because I'm intense. I'm a very intense person. But I've been told that many times. But anyway, so I just, what I think the difference is for me is with CrossFit, I just pushed myself so hard that I was sore at night sleeping. I'd wake up, I'd be aching. I didn't sleep as well as I do now.
Yeah.
I didn't rest. Yeah. I didn't get the rest that my body really needed. And I feel so much better powerlifting because I train 4 days a week and I get those nice rest days. I sleep better, and I'm gauging where I need to go with it based on RPEs and stuff, where CrossFit, there's no such thing.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, no.
It's RPE 15 and more, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, I needed to be reeled in, and this is how we're going to do it. And I feel so much better. I sleep better at night.
That's fantastic. So how do you think having diabetes has affected the way that you train?
With CrossFit, it was difficult because
very intense.
Very intense. Yeah.
That must mess with your insulin, right?
Oh yeah, it does. It's insulin becomes virtually water. It just doesn't work because of all the adrenaline.
Right.
So I would have extreme highs for like hours after a WOD, and then the next day I would tank. So With powerlifting, I've noticed, even though I don't do it every day, CrossFit I did 5 to 6 days a week, but now I'm only training 4, and I walk. I don't do much cardio. I walk for a bit, but what I've noticed is that my body kind of is trained now to know what I'm doing from day to day, and I have time to adjust, time to, you know, see what's going on and fix it if I have to. I still have issues, but overall, I feel like that time that I spend in the gym, my body has gotten used to this really basic routine that I'm in. Whereas CrossFit, there's really not a routine.
Right.
Other than just you know, going out there and doing whatever they hand you and trying to get it done. Whereas I know what to expect with powerlifting, and my body does too. And I think the days that I train, that spills over into those other days of better control because my body adapted to it. So overall, it's much better.
That's great. I mean, I've noticed that with all of our people who are diabetic. I have one particular, it's a friend of my friend's husband, and he used to, I mean, just become exhausted mowing the lawn, like immediately lightheaded. Wow. And they have a crazy lawn like this, you know, it's a crazy yard to begin with, but he would have to pause in between. And he wasn't doing any fitness at this time. And he wanted to come back to it, but was so afraid because his levels were so erratic. They would just jump all over the place. And one of the best, and the best thing now is he's been with us a year, and it's, you know, you look at his, he's able to monitor it, and it's a lot more steady and a lot more even. So that's something that we, as, you know, gym owners, like, definitely try to preach. What would you say to somebody who is like maybe a cardio bunny or like, you know, prioritizes doing cardio over strength training? What would you tell them to, like, hey, why don't you come over here?
Ooh. Well, I would tell them that when you build muscle, you burn calories more efficiently, for one, and it also makes you more insulin sensitive.
Yes.
So I think that's what I think has helped my control.
Yeah.
Cardio is good, but I think that you have to have balance. And I think that building strength repercussions isn't the right word to use, but it has benefits that go beyond just the time that you're doing it.
Totally.
Granted, cardio is good for your heart, but the muscle that you build is definitely going to help blood sugar control over the long run.
Yeah, totally. So what is your programming look like now? Like, what is your training split look like?
Well, I'm doing a bodybuilding block right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so, God. Yeah. So you're there forever. You're like, this is 12, 13.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I get a little bit nervous about it because I haven't done anything heavy since Worlds. And I'm like, do I remember how to squat heavy? I'm kind of freaking out about it a little bit. It does make me nervous in the fact that I haven't lifted real heavy since Worlds. And I'm like, oh God, you know, I just want to be able to get back there and make sure I can still do it.
Oh, you'll still
But I, you know, it's there. It's just all the reps and stuff. The one thing is I'm training now more days a week, 5 days a week, but my workouts aren't as long.
Yeah.
So they're shorter days, but they're definitely more bodybuilding intensive.
Yeah. Which is good. Cause then you have shorter bouts of stimulation, right? And that's always good for hypertrophy. So instead of having to worry about neurologically, right? Like, we don't, when you're really lifting heavy, you might need more time rest. But if we're building muscle, small bouts of stimulation is going to be better. So yeah, you can add in those extra days, would be good.
Right. Yeah. And I just, you know, I went and did a deadlifting comp in December because I was really close to home and, you know, there was prizes and I won second place. No bonus points for being old either. God damn it.
No, really? They didn't use the McCullum.
No.
They just, oh, it's just, oh, it's just heaviest straight deadlift.
Up. Yeah. It's whoever scores the highest. Yeah. So yeah. Based on body weight and weight lifted. That was it.
So who took first?
Brittany Chow.
Oh, I did see that. I did see you were at that one. Oh, that's so funny. I know. She's such a badass too. It's like, come on. She's so badass.
Yeah, she's over there doing 500 years little on me.
Yeah. You're like, but trying to get four.
Second. Well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's still badass. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, Brittany and I were talking about it. Like, we want to be able to do this hopefully until your age. You know what I mean? You're really an inspiration for that. You know, like, who knows where my body will be then, but my goal is to always continue training, and it might just look different as I get older, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that, 4 days a week is enough for me. Yeah. I definitely never want to train. I look at some of these videos on Instagram of younger people doing heavy stuff all the time. I'm like, God, my God, I'd be 6 feet under if I was doing that. There's no way.
Yeah.
So I just have to age, you know, I'm doing it for the longevity. Yeah. That's all that matters.
So when you're training closer to a meet, what does your programming look like then? So you're lifting like doubles, or are you squatting several times, or you stick to like a 1 day squat and move on to the other days?
Okay. Bench is a little more intensive.
Okay.
because it is the weakest lift I have. But it's gotten a lot better because we've added more bench variations and stuff. But it's undulating periodization.
Okay.
So I don't do like top sets and back down. We just do, you know, programmed sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it at that.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, actually, you know.
Yeah.
It undulates, which is perfect for me. It works really, really well.
Yeah. I there's so many ways to train, you know. That's why it's like you just got to find what works for you. Like when I was talking to Jen Thompson, who is like number one bench in, you know, the world. Yeah. I mean, she does a 10-day cycle, you know, and most of the time we hear people doing 7-day cycle, right? You do the 4 trainings a week, but she has a 10-day because she needs more rest because the amount of load that she's doing. You know, and she's still getting there and she's still kicking ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For me, it's like a 12-week block and it just gradually gets heavier and heavier.
Yeah.
As time goes on closer to the meet, and it, you know, like squats will be 1 week will be, you know, heavy. And then the next week it's bench and the next week it's deads, you know, so it just, and then towards the end, obviously you taper the last week, but yeah, it's what we've been doing all along for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so
what do you think has been the biggest changes to your body switching from soccer to like weight training? Because I mean, it's visible in that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I need more clothes that are bigger. Yeah. All my sleeves are tighter.
I was going to say, you got some guns. I love it.
Yeah. My quads have grown quite a bit. Yeah. I've definitely put on some serious muscle, but you know, I did, you know, soccer, you just run, you know, I was doing a lot of sprinting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, and I just think overall strength. You know, but basically, my back has gotten bigger. I mean, I've had people tell me, friends, women my age, that, you know, I like the way you looked before, and
I'm trying to be nice. Like,
in one ear and right out the other.
Right. I feel the same way. Like when I was first losing weight, like I got to a point where I was like very unhealthy, partying all the time. And then I went through my divorce and was like, you know, lost all, you know, like in my mind, I was like, lose weight, look fine. But I thought I was so skinny. And I was like, my arms are so skinny, my legs are so, I didn't like how I was looking, you know, for myself. But as I got bigger and more muscle, everybody was like, well, I just liked what you looked like before. And, you know, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I didn't fucking ask you, did I? You want me to tell you look better when you were 20? No. So sometimes some people just have no tact, you know, and I never say it like that, but I try to be more understanding because I know where they're coming from. But
yeah, and you got to consider the source. I'm sorry, but you know, it's just, hey, if you're happy, nothing else should matter.
Right.
I don't care what you fucking look like.
Yeah,
you know?
I completely agree.
So that's to me the most important thing.
Yeah. So what is the goal for you, say, this year and maybe 3 years from now?
Well, I haven't thought about 3 years, but I'll be in a better age group. No, I won't.
You won't be in the 70, will you?
No.
Okay.
No. Oh, God, no.
I was like, you're 65, right?
Yeah, I'm aging myself way too fast here. So this year, my goal is to surpass 800 pound total.
You're there.
Because right now,
10 pounds.
I'm at 790. So I want to get beyond the 800.
What do you think you're going to be able to do that at? Which lift?
Squat and dead.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a tendency not to, push myself too hard on bench. Although I did at Worlds because I felt like I was really ready to finally put it out there. And I finally got those red plates. Thank God.
Yeah.
But that was wonderful. But, you know, and I just like, I'm going to just send it on this one. I can do it. I know. But squat, I think I've got more in me. You know how squat is, though. It's scary. It gets in my head a little bit, but I think I can do it. But once I did that deadlift meet in December, that really boosted my confidence to get my dead weigh up. So I think if I can put 10 pounds on my dead and at least 5 on my squat, I'll have it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that'll definitely be above there. And you're already at like an elite total, right? Or you
international?
You're international. Yeah. At that point, and you're number one in the 165 in your, that's amazing. Like that's a big feat.
Well, you know, I didn't realize that was going to happen. But I did, I was, you know, I'm competitive and I was looking at open powerlifting.
Yeah.
Just like we all do.
Yeah.
So, I was noticing what the total was and I noticed what the top dead was and I knew at Worlds on the second deadlift, I thought, yeah, man, that felt kind of heavy at 341. Yeah. So I'm just going to chip her the all-time dead, which was a 348. So I just went 349. I could have went more. I should have, but I didn't.
Afterwards, so, right? You're like, that was a lot faster than I thought it would be.
Yeah, we were playing it safe, though, because we wanted to get that total, you know, that top spot.
Yeah.
And then I found out later I was in second for best lifter. I was so close. I was like, shit.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'm cool with it. I mean, it was awesome just to be in that place with all those awesome master lifters. It really was.
Yeah, I think the masters lifters are just really leveled up now. Like, I feel like the women masters lifters are just fucking nuts. Like, I just feel like people like you and, you know, that women, then, you know, before we never thought about a 65-year-old woman, you know, powerlifting at the totals that we're at now, you know, the total you're at, it was always like, oh, you did a good job. And, you know, but that's like not even it now, you know, it's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, the woman, that I competed against in, at nationals last year, she just broke my world record squat from 72, 75. No, it's cool. I mean, I mean, of course I didn't want it to happen. I wish stayed there, but I'm so happy to see other women doing this. You know, I mean, records are meant to be broken. And
right. And now you're like, now I got to bring it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. You know, light a fire under my ass. I'm going to go get it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. All right. So this is a part of the show where I ask all my people,
what the hell is wrong with you people?
What the fuck was I thinking? Where you think back to a time where probably you're going to have a lot. I'm going to think about this, but probably a time where you look back and you think, what the hell was I thinking doing that? Can you think of a time that happened?
Oh, man. You know, I play things pretty safe. I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to.
Which is funny that you say that, but I feel like you're not.
Well, you know, I like to play the long game. You know, I've got my eye on it, but still I've done some stupid things. You know, this isn't funny, but I had a friend fly out from Philadelphia to handle me for a meet. It was a surprise. She came out and did it. She's also a type 1 powerlifter. And she's like, okay, well, you got to eat between, you know, where's your food? I didn't have any. I never ate during meets. No, I wouldn't. She's like, what in the fuck are you thinking? You have to eat. You got to eat. So she actually, I said, no, I'll get sick. You know, I'll have to poop, I'll have to pee.
Yeah.
I can't do any of this. So she literally grabbed me by the arm and took me to the bar. It was at San Jose Fit Expo. And she ordered me a sandwich. I said, I cannot deadlift after I eat this. I just can't do it. And so she goes, eat half of it then. I mean, she was literally shoving it in my face. So I did. I ate half of it and I went back and it was a wake up call. You know, you need to eat on meat day.
Yeah.
You really do.
How did you feel?
I felt really good. You know, if I would have ate the whole sandwich, that would have been a whole, I can't say for sure. But yeah, I really needed that. I needed someone to slap me upside the head and say, yeah, that's really dumb. You should be eating on meat day.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. I would expect somebody who is a diabetic to even be more like, right? Like more careful, but you're probably thinking like, I don't want to screw it up. It's going fine. I don't want to change anything. I think the same thing sometimes. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is poop at a place that I don't poop at, right? Normally, then I'm going to be in the room with other powerlifters And then it's not going to be quiet. You know, it's just like a whole scene. I wouldn't want that. So I can understand that. But yeah, I'm sure you felt great. So what do you pack? What do you pack now for yourself?
Well, when I go get my stuff for meats, they're always out of them are those Uncrustables, because they are the perfect carb, protein, mostly carb. And then I have a few Skittles before I do deadlift, but I don't really do much fat. You know, I try to stick with what I normally eat, but I don't buy Uncrustables typically at all. But meat day, that's my jam. One before each lift.
Oh, that's a good idea. One before each. I usually just bring the same old plain stuff and some gummies. I know gummies is like, there's a big camp on, you know, even candy. It's like, you know, you're stupid if you do it, because it's like, you know, and then there's people who are like, give me all the gummies in the world. I'm like, you know what? I eat candy occasionally. So it's not like out of the question for me to have it. So, but that's a great, what the fuck was I thinking? I think that's a good lesson learned.
I've got some others, but they're a little embarrassing.
Well, if you've heard all the episodes, you heard the one about Anna and the yogurt. It still lives to this day. There's people that will tag me in photos and it's like a yogurt, and then they'll tag her and she's like, the story that will never die.
Yeah. No, it won't. Actually, that was a great episode.
Yeah. The story was wonderful. And then her triumph was wonderful. And then it ends with like your vagina on fire. Like, how could that not end any better? Right. Linda, this has been great. And I am so glad that we finally got it together, like you and I, because we both had voice issues. It's so funny that both of us had that. So I'm so happy that we got this. And I know that there's going to be people who listen to this who will be inspired by your story, because you are inspiring. I think it's a testament to somebody who has something that they have to challenge. That's challenging. You know, having diabetes is not an easy thing to live with daily. Right. And you're trying to do that. Yeah, 24/7, and you've had it for almost 40 years, right?
40 years in July. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Linda. And
having me.